Hello, and welcome to the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast, a show for people who want to take their personal training businesses and fitness coaching skills to the next level. Team Alloy has been in the personal training business since 1992 and share their insights from working with businesses and brands around the world. Listen in for secrets and tips on running a successful fitness business, from personal training, marketing, staff management, scaling your business, and everything in between. If you are interested in having your own personal training business, our systems are well developed, and we are focusing on very discrete segments which we think are the secrets to success. Now, let's get started with our host.
Rick, what's going on again?
Maddie, what's up? Hey, you're wearing the same shirt.
Yeah, I have like 50 of these.
Do you?
Like Superman.
Yeah,
like
I
Batman.
Do. I literally have like 37 of these Stronger Together shirts.
Those are awesome shirts, actually.
Yeah.
They're like
they fit really well. Look at that. See that? Nice. I wear a medium or a child's large.
Medium.
Seems to fit me well.
Medium, yeah. Husky.
Oh, I like
that's
that.
That's where you go.
Yeah.
Go with that one.
Is that a real size?
Yeah, it was in the movie 50 First Dates.
I need that. I need the Husky. All right, so what are we talking about today?
So we're in the last part of our sales process. So you want to give us a little recap what we did and have... what we're going to talk about today would be great.
Yeah, sure. So four-part series, and we really took our, what we call our starting point session, which is our one-hour sales session where someone comes to the gym and they're physically in front of us, right? Because there's more to sales, I think. There's phone scripts, there's touring the club, and there's things that we can get into on later podcasts. But today it's part four of our four-part one-hour, what we call the starting point session.
Mm-hmm.
And today is all about asking for the sale. So it's about, you know, you've got them teed up to get to this point in the session, and you're going to sit down with them and ask them for money.
Before we, you know, we dive into it, you got any really funny sales stories? I'm just curious.
Oh my gosh.
You got stories about,
you know, it's
everything.
Been a while since I've sold an actual training membership. I would say the funniest one was when a couple of people on the team hired that entertainer to come in and pose as a new client.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right. Because do you remember the story? I don't think
I remember
you were
the story.
Yet.
I remember we saw this person at our 20th anniversary.
Yeah, they brought her back and she got me again. But she was good. She's a professional actress. She was like in her 70s and she did like Elton John's roast and all these other like Atlanta celebrities. She was really good. So she's a good actress. Well, it was funny the timing because this was for my birthday. So they had to plan this out well in advance. It just so happens that the week before, I was going through our sales process with our whole team, because at that point we had a couple different people that were selling, and I was just driving home the point that no matter who someone is or what they look like, how they're dressed or what they drive up in, we can sell anyone, you know, and I was fired up. And that I really do believe that if you can create enough value and connect to someone emotionally, they will pay to be a better version of themselves. They
sure.
really will. And so it was literally right on the heels of that conversation, that meeting, like 2 days later, and this wacky lady came in.
You had to do it. You had to sell it.
I had to. Like I had just told everyone, doesn't matter if they're crazy, doesn't matter what they look like, you can sell anyone. So this lady comes in this like 70s aerobic outfit, and she has a huge boom box, like the kind you'd carry on your shoulder. And she comes in making all these crazy noises and hits the play button and starts dancing around.
What year was this?
I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's probably 15 years ago. I know. Okay. It wasn't in the 70s, but she was dressed like she was from the 70s. But, and so I'm thinking, man, this lady's crazy. You know, like what is going on? But I'm like, no, I'm going to close her. Like I told everyone, you got to close everyone, right? I'm like, I'm doing this. And they had set me up perfectly. And so we went into the office and they had given her all the little hot spots and things that they knew I wouldn't like. And she just tortured me for an hour. Like little things like when I, you know, we'll get to this, when I pushed the rate sheet over and said, this is what I would suggest for you. She's like, well, I can't read this. Can you sit next to me and read it to me? And there was two chairs sitting next to each other beside me on the desk. I was like, okay. And I was already so uncomfortable. She had cried. She had laughed.
That's
she
awesome.
Put her feet in my lap and told me to rub it. I mean, it was like so off-putting. And the whole time I'm like, this cannot be real. But again, I was so focused on closing per our meeting that
right.
I just couldn't see it. Right. It
yeah.
was like right in front of me. And so I sat next to her and I'm reading her the rates and she's sitting right next to me. Like I could feel her breath and she's not even looking at the rate sheet. She's staring at me. It would be like if someone was looking in your ear is what it felt like. And then she said, do you mind if I sit in your lap while you read me those rates? Now, mind you, she's like my grandmother And she had just finished like crying, like, I mean, all out crying, where I had like hug her and talk her off the ledge. And so I'm like, oh geez, I don't want her to start crying again. So I was like,
see you later.
I didn't know what to do. I was up against it. Yeah. She said, can I sit in your lap while you're reading the rates? I'm like, sure. You know, so here she is in my lap with her arms around my neck, I'm holding the rate sheet. And there's people walking around the gym that worked here. And of course, now I know they all knew. No one was even looking in the office. I was looking out for help. Like, help me. So put a lifeline out there. Like, somebody help me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Come in here. And no one would. And then finally at the end, I like couldn't wait to get out of the office, took her to the front to like process her paperwork. And then she said something about being happy birthday. I was like, oh, and it still took me a minute because I was so focused on closing this lady and it was so exhausting. And yeah, it turns out it was a local entertainer. And yeah, they brought her back like 5 years later for our 20-year anniversary party.
She got you again, I remember.
And while I was giving my big thanks everyone for 20 years in business speech, she came running across stage telling everyone that Rick Mayo's full of shit. And I was just like, there's pictures of me standing behind her with my arms in the air. Like, I don't know who this is. And she basically says, if he says he remembers you or knows your name, he's a liar. And I was like, why would she say this? You know what? She's killed like 400 people at this party. And, it turns out it was her. She's like, you don't remember me? It's me. I was like, oh, it's like the same person got me twice. It's like, man, how bad am I? But
I'm gonna bring her back then, you know, 5 years probably. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. Three now I'll year, be trying to sell her a franchise or something. It's like same
bring
difference.
Bring her in, bud.
Yeah, she's probably 95 years old. I think they had to track her down, bring her out of retirement. Anyway, let's get to sales. All right, so look, yeah, anyway, great question. I could tell stories forever. But so imagine that at this point in time, you're taking someone back to the office to ask them for money. Now, mind you, what you've been through already, right? Mm-hmm. So to recap, we've done step one, which is the meet and greet or the peeling the onion. So you have really, should have really, at this point, you've dug deep and you've pulled out of them the real reasons why they're there. Sometimes that can get emotional, right? You've taken them on the floor. You've done the functional movement screen, which shows them they have a process to what we do.
Yep.
Makes it seem scientific. You know, it tells the beginner they're going to be safe. It tells the athlete that, you know, the person that's more athletic and more advanced, that there's a process to what we do. So even though they're going to end up in more of a bit of a group setting, that they know that there's a reason why they're going to be doing what they're doing. Right. Mm-hmm. That's really important. And then we've put them through a workout, which their endorphins should be up. That should have given them more confidence that either they can do this, if they're low level or, you know, beginner, that there's some value if they're intermediate, or that if they were really advanced, we should have kicked their butt a little bit to earn some respect and get their attention. Right. So now you're sitting down with them and now it's the crux move. Right. So the best way to do this, and we have real basic membership options, right? Mm-hmm. I will tell you this, like if you haven't set up your rate sheet, anything more than four options is too many. And that's brain science. It's mm-hmm. not just me in the industry saying this. You know, this is from behavioral science, you know, textbooks. Too many choices will cause people not to buy. It's too confusing. Like on one hand, emotionally, they say they want them, but actually the research proves that they don't buy if they have them, right? So I would say come up. We have good, better, best memberships. And we know what our most successful clients do.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is to simply look to the person that you're selling and say, listen, Matt, based on what we talked about and your goals, what I saw from the functional movement screen in your workout, this is what I'm going to suggest. And you simply circle the option that you think is best for them and say this always, our most successful clients do this, and just slide it over. Right. There you go. There's your sheet. So in saying that, there's not a lot that can be said back to that, right? So you're sort of backing them and painting them into a corner in a good way, meaning, you know, what's the response to that going to be? You know, well, oh, that's great. What do you have for people that don't want to be successful? I mean, right? It's sort of like, okay, hey, you're also saying without, in a different way, you're saying this is how we do things, or this is what our clients do, or this is how everyone that's successful does things here, mm-hmm. right? That's what you're saying with that statement. And keep in mind that if you are selling or if you own a facility and you're having somebody move into sales, it's really key that whoever is doing the selling understands the value of what you're selling from a financial standpoint. A lot of people that are in that position are not going to be in the same financial position as the person that they're selling to. And we have to be really careful not to sell from our own wallet, for lack of better terms, which means if your income wouldn't support a $300 a month membership, don't let that hold you back from selling a $300 a month membership.
Sure. Yeah.
When I opened here, I was 22 years old and I was selling, you know, 100 packs at $30 a session to people. So that's $3,000.
Which is amazing when you're how old?
Yeah, I was 22 years old. I was selling to people my age now, which is 40s and 50s, right?
Like what year was that?
1992.
I was going to say, okay, yeah, 92?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're selling 100 packs, 1992. Yeah.
100 packs.
How do you even keep track of 100 packs? There's no like, I don't even know if they have computers. I don't even know.
No, we didn't have computers. You're right. There's no software for this. So we use Monopoly money. So we would cut it up and lock it in a safe and you'd give somebody an envelope of 100 of these watermarked Monopoly monies that were color coded to 100 pack. And then when they came in, they had to redeem them. The coach would then collect them and turn them in for payroll. And we kept like a side ledger.
You were ahead of your time.
I was. That was a system, man. It was, I don't care what you say. It might have been on awesome. Stone tablets, but it was a system.
Stone tablets.
But make sure that you're not selling out of your own wallet, meaning just because you can't afford it. When I was 22, I slept in the gym for a while. I'm not proud to say that, but I was also in college. So it's like I didn't have any money and I was doing well, but my business was brand new. But when I looked at the industry overall and I looked at the change that I was making for people, I had no problem asking for a $3,000 because I knew what the value was. Just because I hadn't accumulated enough wealth to be in the position of the person sitting across from me didn't mean that they were better than me or that I was intimidated or that I thought about what my budget was when I was selling them something expensive. And I see that a lot with trainers and or salespeople in this industry is they really use their own limiting beliefs to limit how they ask for sale.
Their limiting beliefs or memberships they see everywhere else. I mean, we kind of went through that. We changed our prices years back at one point. We bumped it up, $100 or so. And we're all like, oh my God, we're never going to be able to make a sale. No, just run the play.
Exactly.
It works.
Run the system. People can buy it. Obviously, you do your market research and you're priced appropriately, but just make sure again, the term selling out of your wallet, I think has been used, but it just means don't use your own financial limitations and don't project those. And keep in mind, sales has so much to do with body language and eye contact and how the energy, like the enthusiasm that you emit from your about your product and around their results, that's going to be, it could be 80% of it, right?
Yeah.
So if you have any hesitation, or if you are scared of the prices, or if you're scared of them saying no, that's going to come out some way, shape, or form in your tone of voice.
Let's run a bad one here. Let's run what, you know.
I can't do a bad one.
I think you could. Come on. You try.
Okay. Here's what normally happens. So for those of you guys that are listening in, I'm selling Matt with a sheet of paper. So I say, Matt, based on what I've seen, based on your goals, your health history, and what I've seen from the movement screen and the workout, this is what I'm going to suggest, right? I'd love to see you in here 2 days a week, minimally three at best. Our most successful clients do this, and I'm circling the three times a week. Slide it over to Matt. Now, Matt's looking at the sheet. Now, if I'm nervous or if I'm selling from my own wallet and I wouldn't have the financial wherewithal to buy this membership, my natural inclination is going to be to break this uncomfortable silence and to start downselling you before you've even had a chance to respond. How many times do you see this where I slide it over to you? You may have a look on your face that is perplexed. You might say, And I would say, the 2 days a week, I mean, I know that three is ideal, but like two is fine as well. And then maybe you could do something on your own.
What about this one?
A one time a week or listen, like if you just want to try it, like you could think about it or whatever. And then
like any half session, so I can just come in half of the session.
Well, no, but I mean, maybe just, I tell you what, just let's do this. I'll let you try it for a week or so. And then we'll just kind of go from there.
Can we do 2 weeks?
Just shut up. But anyway, right. How many times have you seen people downselling before they need to? So let's do it the right way.
All right.
Same exact script, Matt, based on what I've seen from your goals. So what you need in your health history, right? And the functional movement screen, this is what I'm going to suggest that you do. Our most successful clients do three times a week. That's what I'd like you to do. Circle it. Now, mind you, I'm a coach in their mind. Why do you think the starting point session is set up? Why do you think episodes 1, 2, and 3 of this sales process, those are all made to, yes, extract the right information for programming, but more importantly, to set this person up to say yes. So I'm an expert in their eyes. I make that suggestion. I slide it over. And the old adage that we use in sales is whoever's talking is losing. So just slide it over, make the suggestion, and be quiet. So we'll give you guys just a few seconds. So I'll give you, 10 seconds, right? So Matt's looking at his price sheet, and I'm looking at Matt.
Yeah, it's great. Let's do this.
Perfect. Is that not what happened to you, Matt?
I felt uncomfortable. Did you feel uncomfortable?
I did feel uncomfortable. So
that was probably 5 seconds.
That was maybe 7 seconds. Yeah. I mean, we have a timer on the podcast here. It's like 7 seconds. So do you know that sometimes this can take 30 seconds or more? Think about the mentality of that customer. They've got, maybe you pulled out of them the real reason why they were there, which they didn't even realize. That's emotional. That's tiring, right? Then you took them out on the floor and you put them through this functional movement screen, which was cool, but it's a lot. I've seen it. Then you put them through a sample workout. Maybe they're more tired than they thought they would be. Or, you know, again, maybe there was a bit of an ego with their old gym and you gave them things that were supposed to be beginner exercises and it crushed them, you know, whatever that is. Now they have all that rattling around in their head. You're going to make a suggestion for a membership and you're a coach in their mind. And we use the term, it's overused, but prescriptive sale, but that's exactly what it is. This is what you need to do to be successful. You slide it over, give them a minute to process, because typically if you start downselling, the response from the customer is going to be something like they're looking at the sheet and the salesperson would say, or you can do the 2 days a week,
right?
And they go, oh, okay. Yeah. And then, or the one, and they literally haven't even had a chance to process the first prescription yet. So slide it over and just sit there until you hear something back. Now, if you've done everything well up to this point, if you've done a really deep dive on why they're there and they were, and you could get them to open up, right? You've done a good movement assessment, right? So we use functional movement screen and the whys behind it and why it's important. Shown them we have a process to what we do. Gave them a fun, engaging workout, right? Gave them some things that they were emotionally tied to, which means that you listened in the peeling of the onion. There should be only one objection at this point, and that would be money. And I'm a huge proponent of, if you can't get them to say yes at this point, you probably didn't set it up right in stages 1, 2, 3 of this 1 hour. And it's really hard to overcome objections. Sure. So there's a whole bunch of sales about overcoming objections in this day and age with the way that people buy things and the information age. People are too savvy for that. Trying to convince someone, if you said to me, well, I need to talk to my wife first.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, isn't your wife behind you? Right? Isn't she someone who would support this decision for you? I mean, it's like I'm testing your foundation of your relationship. You know, maybe right. Maybe you guys have an agreement that you're not going to spend over $200 without speaking to each other. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, I just find that it's a weird way to sell. And here's what I do know. And again, this is from brain science. Once you take that relationship from personal to transactional,
yep.
You can't get it back.
Mm-hmm.
So it is about the money, but it's not about the money. So if you've done a great job, and you slide this paper over and right. They make it transactional by saying, that's just way too expensive. Then of course you say, well, what else? Look, listen, you can be successful as long as you're going to stick to it. What would make sense for you?
Right.
And again, we only have good, better, best. So like, it's just going to be based on budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you immediately start talking numbers, like we break it down, it's half off. You do this, you get these sessions. It's, you know, we're going to give you this many extra sessions, or we're going to throw in $50 or... It sounds like a deal. It feels gross. It's like the stats that support when you buy a car, even if you get a good deal, you feel like you got screwed because the process sucks.
Right.
That's a real deal. So it's like, well, let's not be that. And I'm not saying don't sell hard, but I'm saying put more effort into stages 1, 2, 3 or steps 1, 2, 3 so that when you get to this point, you look someone in the eye and ask for the sale. It's not icky. It doesn't have to be transactional. And the only objection should literally be they can't afford it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you said it before. I don't even know which podcast, but it's not like you're selling them something they shouldn't have. I mean, this is a thing that's going to make them healthier and enjoy life. I mean, it's better than medicine, right?
It is medicine, right?
I mean, so.
Are you about to say movement is medicine? Because I might smack your head.
No, I wasn't going to say that at all.
Because it's true, but I heard that all the time. But listen, let me tell you a story. So Joe Rubble, who used to be the sales guy here. I mean, the dude could sell anything, man. He's an amazing salesperson, right? And great, like great connector with people. And I can recall that there was the favorite teacher of ours at the Catholic school where our kids went to school. Great guy. And he was pretty heavy set and he had his own kids, right? And so after all this time, he finally came to the gym And he was, again, my kid's favorite teacher, Joe's kid's favorite teacher. Everybody knew this guy, right? And he was a great guy. So he comes in. He's been thinking about exercising for 20 to 30 years. Joe's the master. So he takes him through this process. He's really good. He peels the onion really well. Yeah. Finds out exactly why this guy's here. And it's about his kids and living longer. And I mean, he gets to the good stuff, right? Shows them we have a process to what we do. So he's going to be safe. And we're not going to kill him. Puts him through a workout that gives him confidence that we can do it. Then he sits down with him at the end. And this teacher, and he slides the paper over. He's quiet. And this guy's holding the paper with the prescriptive sale and looks up and says, well, let me think about it. And it's so funny. I remember Joe apologizing to me after, because his knee-jerk reaction to a Catholic school teacher was like, are you fucking kidding me? And he felt horrible for saying that. But what I want people to hear, the reason that he had such an emotional reaction to that was he cared so much about this guy that he wasn't going to let him off the hook, right? And that was his response. And it wasn't out of like, I'm not going to get this sale. It was like, man, are you kidding me? Like, you're not going to let me help you? Like, you're my favorite guy, right? That kind of a feeling. And that's how it was received by mm-hmm. this teacher. He ended up signing up. He ended up losing like 80 pounds, got off a lot of medications. I mean, he did amazing, right? Well, he wouldn't have done any of that had the person selling not cared enough to not let him off the hook.
Right.
So that sounds like a hard sale, but he didn't say, are you effing kidding me, through the lens of, I'm not going to close the sale and get this money. It was through the lens of like, I can't believe you're not going to let me help you
right.
after all this time. So, and it worked because it came from the right place.
Right.
That's what I mean about getting your head right when you sit down with that person. And so, you know, I can't speak enough to those first three steps and what those do to that moment. And then you have to really believe that if you don't sell, in air quotes, this person, you're not going to be able to help them. You're doing them and your business a massive right. disservice.
I mean, I remember when I was in the seat, there wasn't a person from when I met them that it ever crossed my mind that they weren't joining, right? From the day to when they started, it's like, all right, I'm helping you to get better. It wasn't like, this is what I can do for you. It's like, all right, here we go. This is what we're going to do. Or I hope you reach your goals. I mean, that's the whole time. Never was it like, oh, I got to make this person, I got to do the sale, you know?
Right. Like, I'm held accountable to these numbers, and we right. are, but like, guess what? If you sell from an intrinsically motivated place of I'm a coach and I'm here to help you. And that's why most people got into this business, to change lives and help people. Mm-hmm. By the way, you can make really good money doing it if you're good at it, right? Then you're going to be selling to that person as a coach. I always say, Matt, if you were selling to a brother, sister, your parents, somebody that wasn't going to pay you, and they took you out to lunch and said, listen, I'm in bad health, I really need some help here, you wouldn't pull any punches, would you?
No.
You would say directly, this is what you need to do. Pull your head out of your ass, do these things. Now, that to me is what a coach does, right? That's what a real coach does. I never had a coach that, you know, in any sport that I played that I didn't really love, that at the time scared me to death.
Right.
Because you would see them in the hall and be like, ooh, you know, it just made you straighten up because they held you accountable.
Bring the best out of you.
They did. And they did it because they loved you and they wanted you to be right. amazing at what you did, not because they wanted a 10-1 record, which, by the way, though, that's the byproduct, right? So it's like, it's all these things come together. So I don't want to get too woo-woo with it. The nuts and bolts of it are, review what you've done that day with them
yep.
and their goals, make a prescription, make a suggestion, circle it, slide the paper over, close your mouth until they say yes or no, and talk them through it if they say no, and then go from there. Yeah. And that's it. I mean, it's really, in its essence, it's that simple, but you have to practice it. And yep.
Got to role play.
Got to role play. It. You do. Yep. You got to role play. So yeah, man, that's it. That's the fourth part. It's the most important one, but it all hinges on like the lead up to this is all built into this one hour.
Cool. All right. Well, let's go sell something.
All right. Yeah. All right, guys. Go sell something. Appreciate you. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast. If you have any questions for the host or are interested in learning more about running a successful personal training business of your own, please reach out and say hello. Connect with us at www.alloypersonaltraining.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive additional resources.